Welcome to the Veterinary Project Podcast, episode 102.
Welcome to the show created by vets featuring absolutely no pets. This is the Veterinary Project Podcast, created by Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light. Our resident veterinarians have swapped out their stethoscopes in favor of microphones to bring you the Veterinary Project Podcast, a show focused on real conversations, aimed to connect this amazing profession full of remarkable people. Through the sharing of collective stories and wisdom, and connecting over the many unique challenges we face, we invite you to join our community of veterinary professionals leading intentional lives. And now, let's get started with another episode of the Veterinary Project Podcast.
Welcome back to the Veterinary Project Podcast. You're joined, as almost every day, Dr. Michael Bug, Dr. Jonathan Light. What a great start. Dr. Bug, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm a little sleepy also, Jonathan. We're recording this bright and early, so we'll forgive you with coming out of the gates there.
For all of our listeners, viewers, whichever else, we are doing this podcast at a very early morning this morning because Dr. Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light all have very busy lives, and this is the time that we needed to do it. Not that you guys should care about it, but we just want to tell you, we love you, and therefore we're willing to wake up at 5:30 to make this happen. Let's do it. What's happening in your life these days?
Well, we're actually going on a vacation, which is, I mean, it's rare to say that in our household. That's why we got to cram this in, because I'm trying to clear the books here. So we're heading out to your way west to the mountains for a week. So it'll be good to get away. It always shines a light on what systems need tightening. For me, anyway, when I go away on vacation, because you got to get everything ready and you're like, well, what's going to break while I'm gone? And then that highlights, okay, I got to get that system put in place better, but it'll be good. I love the mountains.
You've said it perfectly. Candace and I in the same adage, my sister and her little one, they're out visiting us in Fernie here this last week and gave us a couple of hours to ourselves where Candace and I took a paddle around the lake, in the lake where we'd like to one day have a cabin on. And we were as well going through some of our habits and what we need to, like you said, tighten up on. It's really good because you come back from that energized and kind of goes along with the theme of today. I also did a student presentation last night for some students. And again, same thing, seeing the energy out of these students and what they need to do going into fourth year as they get prepped. We were talking negotiations and contract, and wow, it's exciting times for a lot of people. And that kind of goes into our theme for the day in terms of making sure you have the best chance of success and enjoy yourself. And in this one, it's getting into vet school, as by the time that this comes out, people are going to be just getting ready to get into their first, second, third, or fourth year of vet school. Good times.
Yeah. I like Saskatoon's kind of a university town. I think, what I don't know what the university, 26,000 or so students come, and you can see just sort of the trucks and the moving trucks rolling into the city with sort of the mishmash of furniture that students typically have, right? Where nothing matches and it's all sort of grad sale, hand-me-down stuff. But it's so fun, like just seeing all that, the city kind of fills up with students, and then the river and sort of the pub district gets a lot busier. So it's definitely a fun time of year.
I'll remember my first day of undergrad for the rest of my life. And that was undergrad. It was a great time. And then you get into vet school and you're like, holy, am I there? No, you just still started. So that's what we want to do today is share with those vet students that might be just getting in, who have already succeeded in their undergrad. These are our 7 tips for succeeding in vet school as related by 2 older gents that we think we did pretty well in vet school, even though it might not have shown as well academically as some. No, I'd say we've done pretty well.
Yeah. And I mean, let's get into it. And my own personal disclaimer on that is I'm not trying to downplay the academic side. Like, yeah, you need to pass and you gotta do the work that you need to do. But I think there's a lot of other areas you can focus on. It doesn't all need to be about that grade. In my opinion, very little of it. That being said, though, you know, if that's what motivates you and you're going for that top mark, all the power to you. You deserve that. But there's a lot of things we can talk about. So let's jump in, Johnny. Kick us off here, number one, which you are a powerhouse at.
out of powerhouse. So our number one is network. You're going to get into this class. You'll have been competitive in action to get into vet school. In our view, number one now is networking. Get to know all of the different types of individuals, whether they be within your normal social circles that you're comfortable with in different years, your professors where possible. Your goal, and in my view, your job in vet school is to network with everyone possible, because this world is small. And it is played out so many times for me where the individuals that we've got to know through our 4 years of school, no matter what year they're in, have come back to influence us later in life. And for us, some of our best buddies, our friends, I literally still got a text from them. I was chatting with one of my best friend's wives yesterday on the way home from Fernie. It sticks with you for life, and it leads to opportunity. It leads to a lot more happiness. And these are the people that you're going to be spending the next 4 years with, you know, constantly, consistently, 16 hours a day. Get to know as many people as you can.
Yeah. I just want to highlight the with everyone part. So you're going to have the tendency, you're going to find your group of very like-minded people, you know, your little group of whatever, four or five. What I wish I had done a better job at was going beyond that into like all of the sort of interest groups and recesses like in your class, because you fast forward and there's going to be a radiologist and an internal medicine person and a large animal person. Like everyone is going to be represented in that class, you know, and you are going to be able to work together. So I would intentionally go and hang out with people that maybe don't have the exact same interests as you on purpose, just to get that expanded networking.
Definitely. Literally some of my best times was jumping out into different rows than where I normally sat to go sit and bug and enjoy different personalities. What are you doing back down here? Well, I'm coming to visit and say hi. And you know what? It's amazing. I ended up having a great relationship with, you know, one of the individuals that I never would have thought we would have seen each other in practice afterwards. Guess what? We see each other all the time. Okay, that's how it works.
Let's have a quick tangent on it. That's so funny that you say that, because I think of like, this is Saskatoon specific, like the 2302 room or whatever room. And you could go in and put a sticker on every seat and write like, this is where they will sit. They will sit. Everyone after a few days just sits in the exact same spot almost always. That's a bonus tip there, is like, go sit in a different seat, you know, like shake it out.
Everybody's head. Everybody's like, oh my God, he's not sitting in the right spot. How could he?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
That doesn't surprise me. You definitely did that. So,
all right. That's number one. Fun starts. What is number two?
Number two, collaboration versus competition. You need to shift your thinking. You may have been fairly competitive to get to this point, to get into veterinary school. You can lower that to a degree here. You are all now colleagues. You, your professors, all the students in all of the years. You don't need to be, you know, competing with each other to see who can score higher on a test or anything like that. So that's just a shift, you know, over to collaboration. You're going to be working together as students and then as colleagues in the veterinary profession. So I see that sometimes to the detriment of students where they're just too competitive still in vet school.
I agree. And it can be cutthroat. We luckily, and you know, in my undergrad and what I've heard from you, it wasn't as cutthroat to get in. You do hear that out of schools and the undergrad adage, and it carries through. And if you're seen as one of those cutthroat individuals, won't share, etc., because it is a knowledge base of the group coming together to help each other, you get called out pretty quick, and or people, you know, isolate themselves. Not worthwhile in vet school.
No. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. Number three. Over to Johnny. I know, again, I need to retake vet school. This one I sucked at. What's number three?
This one I'm so happy that I took advantage of. Number three is travel. There are opportunities that are going to arise in vet school that are going to get you, again, out of your comfort zone, but being able to get away from the college, whether it's for an experience over 2 weeks in an externship, whether it's over a summer, et cetera. For myself, vet school, I ended up taking out a loan. I was able to work and pay my way through undergrad. In vet school, I took a loan. And truthfully, for good or bad, and this is not financial advice, I used a portion of that loan to travel. and to get out and see the world and enjoy, again, different personalities, where I knew for a fact I was never going to be so free again. And it was a blast. And so I always recommend to students now, if you have the chance to get out and do things, go do them. And yes, it's expensive. And yes, you're in debt. And yes, this is probably bad financial sense, but the experience and the learning is well worth it. So if you have that opportunity to get out and travel, go do it. Because again, you might not have that other opportunity. And I guarantee for a fact, you'll never be so free.
That is true. That's one of those things you just don't learn until you're looking back on it. I know the symposiums that we had that would be across Canada, like rotate amongst the vet schools. I did not go out east, and I try not to regret too much in my life, but I really wish I would have went out, you know, to Eastern Canada when that opportunity was there. So I agree with you. Now we're just going to confuse our listeners, because I'm going to go all on the opposite end. After Jonathan just said, take out loans and blow it all on travel experiences,
I'm number four. What's number four? I'm cutting in.
I'm going to come at you and tell you to lower your cost of living however you can. So you see so many veterinary students coming out with such large amounts of debt, and your living costs are going to be one of your big ticket items. So get creative. You know, we've talked about house hacking on other episodes. You know, having roommates, or one thing I see for vet students that's really cool is like pet sitting opportunities. You know, you'll have families that are going away and they need someone to watch their dogs. A veterinary student is a shoe-in for that. It's typically like free room and board if you take good care of their pets. So get creative, lower that cost of living. I know it sucks. I know it's horrible. Like when you're kind of a poor student and the budget is really, really tight, and then someone is saying, you know, you should watch that even more. But it really pays off if you can come out in fourth year with as low of debt as possible. Then you can kind of get on offense and get earning some money. It'll really set you up later in your life.
Nice. Love that 180 on tip four, Mike. And it's true. And it's something I wish I would have done more of. And I was the guy that lived with the people that were house hacking during that time. And they did well, especially in Saskatoon at that time. But we never know what the market's going to do. So completely agree. All right. Number five. Yep. There we go. Get out of your comfort zone. This kind of goes along with networking, but on a different level. In vet school, we all get in with a view of what we're going to become or where we want to go or interests in terms of species. My view from getting out of your comfort zone is to go explore and experience. There are so many amazing groups that are out there now in vet school in terms of clubs. Go do a couple that make you uncomfortable. Go spend time with profs and species setups that you might be uncomfortable with, because at the end of the day, many, many of my employees that I come to know and get to hire, et cetera, over time, thought they were going one direction, ended up in a different one. And it's only through going outside of your comfort zone and seeking different interests and exploring that you're going to figure out what you're first interested in, what's going to provide that interest long term. And it's not about happiness. It's about setting up for yourself for success. And in my view, the way of trying that in vet school is to try as much as possible. And really, you need to be uncomfortable for a bit of that to have the best chance of seeing what you like and don't like.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I remember my example of this is I joined like the wildlife and exotic club for 1 or 2 years. I knew I didn't really like exotics. I thought the wildlife was cool. And on it, this is a story of it just confirming, yep, I'm not going to be an exotic vet. But it's like, I did it. I handled some exotic pets. I can move on. You know, and on the flip side of that, I've heard stories of people where they try something, you know, a small animal, you know, vet grew up in the city, joins the bovine club and becomes a cattle vet, right? It's like, so, and especially first and second year, I agree. I would try all of it. And, you know, you can worry about specializing later. It's all good experience. And then you're going to
streamline yourself. And we're speaking about this to the students last night, which were predominantly mixed and large animal, where they're going into fourth year rotations. And if they don't have any small animal skill sets yet, and or they haven't gone into any of that end, It's going to be a little bit more difficult. It's not going to be impossible by any means, but the research out there shows that the vast majority of people, no matter whether they think they're going to be mixed large animal, more the mixed side of things, will at some point dabble or perhaps completely become small animal veterinarians.
You know what would be interesting? This is tangent again here for our vet students, is write a quick note to yourself of where you're going to be when you graduate or where you're going to be 5 years out and time capsule it and then open it and see. Because we've interviewed however many guests on this podcast, and honestly, I don't know if I can think of one person that was like, I entered vet school wanting to do this, I graduated and did it, and 10 years later, I'm still doing it. Like, everyone pivots.
And what do you have the best chance of pivoting to something you like? Going and trying. All right. Number six. Mike, over to you.
Okay. I know I'm the Debbie Downer here on this one. This is not another fun one, but it's revamping the study habits. And where I'm going with this is I'm not sitting here telling you to study all day, every day, but you're going to find you have to pivot coming from undergrad, going into veterinary school. For me, it was the volume, right? Like, I remember just class after class. We're old. Remember this. This is paper day. So binders and binders and binders of material for one class. And then you have however many classes on top of that. You just simply have to learn better skills and get more efficient. And then really the take-home message here is the curiosity, building in the piece of being curious every day, right? That is something I did a really poor job of. I remember having, and he probably doesn't know this because I've never mentioned it to him, a classmate of mine named Kevin, and this just stuck out with me. It was in front of that 2302, a big lecture hall at WCVM. And I asked him, I was like, what are your study habits? And he told me how he studied. And he would get through the material 7 times. Now, that's not 7 thorough times. Like, time number one is simply like, grab the highlights. Like, what are the headings? Time number two, again, more of a skim. But he had this system of every day he would spend a few minutes or an hour, whatever time he had, you know, being curious and learning. And I would bet that he, like, I'm sure he did better than me in vet school, but it's not about the marks. That's not it at all. We're not studying to get a grade. You're studying for life. And if you can bring that over into your career and then your personal life, where you are just a constantly curious person that has adopted this like continuous learning mindset, and you do it efficiently, I mean, you're set up for an amazing career.
So good. We know that everybody that's gotten to veterinary school has the ability to do exactly as you've described there. Then separates out those that want to cram and study overnight, which is just still not going to happen, and help you, as opposed to what you described very well there, curiosity. All right. And for number 7 on the 7 tips on how to succeed in vet school, according to the Veterinary Project.
So yeah, this is a tricky one here. I'm going to call it like shifting perspective, or saying to quit striving. So what I mean here is I see a lot of students where they always have this goal and this goalpost, but it is always like kind of moving with them. So you're in undergrad, your goal is get into veterinary school. Okay, check mark. Now you've set the goal of graduating from veterinary school, right? So it's year 1, year 2, year 3, year 4. And all you're doing is you're just striving to get to that finish line. And you're counting down 4 years left, 3 years left, 2 years left. Graduation day comes. That's amazing. Congratulations. You put a check mark next to that, become a veterinarian. And then you wake up the next morning and you're like, now what do I do? Because you've been striving your whole life for this one goal. You've checked it off. And then there becomes this like almost void. So my messaging in here is you are already a veterinarian. You have already become a veterinarian. Yes, you haven't passed the final tests yet. You still have 4 years of schooling, but you are part of the community already. You can quit striving for that goal. Because if you're always striving for this finish line, what you're going to find when you enter your career, there is no finish line on your career, right? And that gets to be a really daunting task when you're looking ahead and you're like, well, where's my target? What am I going after for people that have always had targets in their life?
Words of wisdom right there.
I wasn't sure how that, where you're going to go with that. Cause at least I really felt that one. Like, I'm being totally honest here. I remember graduating. I remember driving to work on the first day and being like, WTF, now what do I do?
Now, you are also an exception to the rule in terms of how and what time you got in at life, and that you're figuring out experiences life. And we've spoken about that in other podcasts before. I think your shifting perspective is absolutely right. And it is a career, and it is not a goal. Couldn't have said it better. You said it better than I will. That is great. 7 tips on how to succeed. Bonus time.
Lay it on me.
So I think that another tip, and I see this in individuals that get into vet school and they just work. And you see them stressed, and it is. And vet school is hard. You have to work hard. There's a lot of volume coming at you from a whole bunch of different directions. Don't forget to play. This in vet school, I believe, is trying to balance, when possible, work hard, play hard. There needs to be time to play. Because again, in my perspective, you will never again be more free than you are right now. And playing is enjoying and learning and getting to know your colleagues better that are going to be some of your best friends and close mates for life. So my bonus tip is, if you need that 97, go after it. But my recommendation is, be happy with the 80. Get out and go to whatever social is going on. Go do it up and have fun. Because you're going to remember that, and nobody's going to give a shit that you got the 97.
I'm sorry to wreck your flow here, is I think back to, you know, if you fail an exam or you have a conflict with a classmate or a professor or whatever it is so insignificant, right? Like, it might feel significant in the time, so I'm not trying to take that away. But it's like when you zoom out and you're done vet school and you're 10 years into your career, it does not matter what you got on that exam.
Nope, not at all. With that, you know what? We're a couple of older guys now that are, we've got some wisdom on us. We've got some time. We have some gray hair, but I think we're still young enough. And when I just did, you know, the talk yesterday for fourth year students, it just brings back that energy and that excitement. And no, we've got a whole new crew coming into vet school this year. We hope that this is successful and helpful for you. And go out there, own it, enjoy. And hopefully these 7 tips plus the bonus were good for you going forward. Enjoy yourselves. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Veterinary Project Podcast. As a recap, on behalf of our hosts, the Veterinary Project Podcast will be releasing new episodes weekly. So be sure to tune in as we bring you more conversations aimed at helping you enjoy a life well lived. If you enjoyed what you heard on the show and you want to stay in the know, please like, love, and or subscribe to the podcast on the listening platform of your choosing, as we're available on all the usual suspects. If you know of others that may benefit from these conversations, we'd love it if you please share the show with them, as this will help us grow our community to reach more and more veterinary professionals. Speaking of which, if you are a veterinary professional and would like to get connected with more like-minded individuals who are joining us on this journey, please send an email to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll invite you to be a part of our private Facebook group. General feedback, requests for information, or perhaps requests to be a guest on the show can also be sent to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll catch you again next week for another episode of the Veterinary Project Podcast. Bye for now.